off verse 18. And so what I've just done is just given you a little outline that I'm going to try to fill in the spots as we go verse by verse, okay? But the, Paul, when he opened up the chapter number 1, I told you that from verses 8 through 17, he would be a debtor. I am a debtor. And then the second part of the chapter, we're all guilty. And then we saw how Paul was thankful. Guys, listen to me real careful, okay? My heart, and I'm sure Pastor Matt's heart, knowledge puffeth up, but grace edifies. And when you learn the Bible, it should not be just to gain knowledge that you can impress somebody with, but that you can get some knowledge that will give you more light on living a holy life for the Lord Jesus Christ and bear fruit for his honor and glory. Okay? Okay, so I mentioned that Paul was looking at this as the case of God versus humanity. Okay, God brings the charges against the defendants. The defendants are the heathen, the moralists, and the religionists. The witnesses are creation, conscience, and scripture. And so the charges are brought. Man has consistently broken God's law. Offenders must be dealt with, and they will be dealt with without partiality, okay? And so I think this first case, as we get finished with chapter 1, will show us the heathen, they plead not guilty, and their excuse is, I've only done that which comes naturally. Now, the rest of the chapter is going to answer is, what about those who have never heard the gospel? Will they go to hell? And so our first point is without excuse, verses 18 through 20. Look with me in there, verse 18. For the wrath of God. See, what we're doing is we're dealing with sin versus the holiness of God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. I saw a definition for ungodliness today, the absence of conformity to the will of God. That's pretty good, ungodliness. And ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So it says there in verse number 19, in them. See that? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. So the heathen, they know there is a God. They know he is holy, and they know he will not let sin go unpunished. Why? They know God's law. Look at chapter 2, verse 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean, while accusing or else excusing one another. And so then he says he had showed it in them, and then it goes, because of that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Guys, this is pretty plain, isn't it? Okay, everybody is without excuse. God is showing them that there is a holy God and there is a consequence for sin and that they need to do something about it. So the question would be, how hath God showed it unto them? Go to Psalm 19. And listen, if you don't want to go to all the verses because you're taking that notes, that's fine. I will read it to you. Psalm 19, verse number 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day out of their speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. You see the words? You got to pick up on the vocabulary. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle for the sun, S-U-N, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven and his circuits unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. So they showed it. Sun, see that thing, sun as a bridegroom? And in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2, the Lord Jesus is referred to as what? The Sun of Righteousness, the S-U-N of Righteousness. So through what you and I would call creation, the Lord is showing them. Let's go back to Romans, verse number 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, made. See that, for the invisible things from him, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made. Caleb. Look up Hebrews 11, verse 3 for me. Hebrews 11, verse 3.
Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear.
I mean, that just blows evolution right out of the water. It's just as plain as can be. The last part of verse 20, so that they are what? They're without excuse. You know, so, I mean, guys, over the years when you witness, people are, you know, they're not going to want to deal with their sin or something. They'll always say, well, what about somebody in Africa that's never heard? Well, there the Bible says they have heard. God has manifested himself to them so that they are without excuse. A person can understand what he cannot see by observing the things that he can see. You can't see God, but you observe his creation and you can understand the things of God. Verse number 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. What we're going to see here, that man willfully departs from God. Man willfully rejects the Lord. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed. Well, okay, let's start in verse 21. Because that when they knew God. So the heathen did know that there was a God. How did they know? They knew through creation. But what did they do? They rejected God's revelation of himself. Turn with me to the book of Job 21. Job chapter 21. Job 21, verse 14. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. That's rejecting God. Verse 15, what is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? Go to chapter 22 in Job in verse 17. Which said unto God, depart from us, and what can the Almighty do for them? Yet he filled their houses with good things, but the counsel of the wicked is far from me. So what they did is they willfully departed. Here is the first step in all apostasy. The first step is not glorifying God. Not glorifying God. Joy, if you would, look up Isaiah 42, verse 8. And Tina, look up Isaiah 48, verse 11. Guys, this thing about glory, glorifying the Lord and giving the Lord glory is very, very important to the Lord. If you're not looking up Isaiah 42, 8 and Isaiah 48, 11, at least write it down and check it out. These are very important verses. Joy, if you would, please. Y'all get that? He's not going to give his glory to anybody. Tina, this is 48:11. You with me? Okay, the new Bibles change glory to honor. Honor and glory are two different things. I looked up honor. It's to pay homage to, esteem, reverence. We understand that. Glory is to praise, to magnify and honor in worship, to exalt to glory. It's very important. I used the verse yesterday for us, 1 Corinthians 6:20. For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, if you have good health, you should thank the Lord that you have good health. If you have all your faculties, you should thank the Lord that you have all your faculties. When you start giving glory to some other source for what you have, you're not giving God the glory that he deserves. And so the first step to apostasy is they were not glorifying the Lord. So he says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. That's the second step in apostasy, unthankfulness, refusing to be thankful. Would you say that's a problem in our culture today? It sure is. And so what is the result of not glorifying God, and what is the result of not being thankful? Look what the rest of the verse says. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was what? What about the saved people that get vain in their imaginations and think, making a lot of money, buying a lot of things, traveling to a lot of things, having a lot of amusements is a thing to life. They get at the end of that life and stand before the Lord at the judgment, and what do they got? They got nothing, Tim. Nothing. Why? They didn't give glory to God, and they weren't thankful. When you're thankful, when you're truly thankful, you have an indebted spirit. That who you are thankful to, you are indebted to them for what they have done to help you or whatever in your life. Are y'all with me? If you don't feel indebted to God Almighty, there's something bad wrong down in your heart. And so, what did they do? Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. So they rejected God, and what did they do? They became philosophers. Yeah. Bible says in Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. Boy, they're all right, aren't they? Ecclesiastes 2:14 says, the fool walketh in darkness. I read this, and I put it down in my Bible because I think it's right. The way into light is by faith, not by knowledge. The way into light is faith, not by knowledge. I shared with somebody the other day, we were talking, and that night that I got saved, in my head, I believed all the facts of the gospel. But because of the Catholic teaching, I was leaning on having to work my way to heaven. That night, Bob opened up that book and took me through the scriptures and showed me the gospel from the Bible, which is the first time in my life I ever had a Bible in my hands. The Holy Ghost illuminated my heart, my mind. He put light there because I had faith in the Bible, and that faith gave me light. Knowledge didn't give me light. Faith gave me light. Now listen, listen. It doesn't stop at salvation, guys. You're going to get light from the Lord in your lives, in your marriages, in your child rearing, in your decisions, as you put faith in the Word of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So what I'm going to do now is just take a little break and show you there's three steps to a reprobate mind. Do y'all understand what reprobate means? Somebody give me your thought on what reprobate is. Tim? No, I need you to tell me what is a reprobate mind. Ben? Void of what? Wet and truth? Goodness and truth, okay. Is that what you were going to say? Okay, I looked it up in the dictionary, okay? Reprobate is, they have no morals whatsoever. They're amoral. They're without morals, okay? But the old dictionary said a person abandoned to sin, one lost to virtue and religion, to abandon to wickedness and eternal destruction without hope of pardon. I thought that was interesting, without hope of pardon. You know, guys, there is a day that the grace of God ends. Now, you and I don't know when that is in a person's life, but it does. Reprobate means to be depraved, to corrupt, and condemned. So, I want to show you the first step. Look at let's start in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So the first step to a reprobate mind is not glorifying God and not being thankful to him. And then look at verse 23. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Guys, haven't you found it crazy that those Jews come out of Egypt? They have witnessed the 10 plagues. They get Aaron to build a cow out of gold. And that quick, they are worshiping a cow. You know what? Evolution has got it wrong. Man's not getting better and better. But without God, man is getting more depraved and more depraved and more depraved. It's not an upward climb. It's a downward spiral. So, verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up. So there's the first step. God gives them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. The second step to a reprobate mind, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever, amen. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. In verse number 26, I skipped this. He gave them up because they changed the truth of God into a lie. That was the second step. Do y'all see that? And then the third step is that sodomy. In verse 28, it says God gave them over. So two times he gives them up to something, and the third time he gives them over to a reprobate mind. I think you can go so far with that that you got no hope of redemption. Amen. Sodomy is an abomination with the Lord. Amen. You have to cross a lot of boundaries to be a sodomite. Do you understand that? And, you know, the Bible is real clear. What I want to do is take you to verse 23. And it says he changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image. Well, that violates the second commandment, doesn't it? Amen. Second commandment in Exodus 20 says this, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. And then verse 5 talks about thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. And the rest of the verse talks about how God is a jealous God. Yeah. And so idolatry counterfeits God. God is not an animal. He's not a graven image. You can't make an image to represent the Lord. And guys, all these pictures you see of the Lord and the apostles and stuff like that, that is some artist's idea of what it's supposed to look like. And they're probably a million miles away. There's no way the Lord had reddish blonde hair, reddish brown hair, and blue eyes, and looked like a queer, okay? There's just no way. I don't mean to be a smart aleck. Our Lord was not good looking, okay? The Bible says he didn't have anything that would bring people's attention to him. He looked like a Jew, okay? Probably had a big Jew nose and curly black hair and stuff like that, you know? There's nothing comely about him. That wasn't what he came for. Came to die for us. And then what we are worthy of because of this is we're worthy of death. Verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. If I was preaching this 30 years ago, I could have a bunch of lost people in there, and I could be condemning sodomy, and those lost people would say amen 30 years ago. Now, they're going to hire a lawyer to sue me for prejudice. I mean, we are rocketing down. It's a depraved society that we're in. And so God gave them up first. For this cause, God gave them up in verse 26 unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Well, you look at the women in America, they're butching their hair off, they're wearing men's clothes, they're bossing men around, they're wanting to be the head of the home, they're wanting to go to work and earn the living and keep the man home and he can wash the dishes and all that kind of stuff. Are y'all with me? That's not what God created a woman for. So they go against everything that God has. And then, of course, verse 27, likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and look at this now, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. I wonder if that receiving in themselves is some of the diseases those queers pick up, which is just reaping what they sowed, the recompense the Bible says there. And listen, you know, they tried to tell you when AIDS first came out, it was a monkey disease. Do y'all remember that? It was a queer disease is what it was. So that's what they were trying to do. Okay. In verse number 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness. Have you ever run across a drunk that's drunk all the time and he's lost everything he's had? Do you know what he is? He's dirty. He stinks. These homeless people, they don't have jobs, they don't work and all that kind of business. They're on the streets for weeks on no end, no personal hygiene. You know what they do? They stink. They're unclean. What's it all a result of? You don't have born-again, Bible-believing Christians laying on the street drunk that are trying to live for God. Amen. You've heard Pastor Matt and Pete's testimony and Mr. Claire's testimony when they went to India. India's been worshiping cows and Hinduism and all that nonsense. It's the filthiest country that you've ever seen. Why? No God. Amen. Idolatry. Listen, idolatry is not religious people worshiping. Idolatry is a religion of the wicked. Listen, Muslims are not religious people worshiping Allah. Muslims are wicked people worshiping an idolatrous idol. Amen. They're going to hell. Catholics are not religious people. They're wicked people worshiping a religious system. Amen. There is only one true God. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. We have got such a soft-back society that we don't want to criticize. We don't want to say one thing is wrong or anything. Listen, this is the way, the Lord said. Walk ye in it. That book has given me light. I can stand and know that I am right because of that book right there. That is my final authority. The world's authority changes. Do you remember in the beginning of COVID? What was that? What was it? Fauci. They thought he was the answer to everything about COVID, right? And now what are they doing? Showing everything he was saying was a lie or wrong. Are y'all with me? That's the world. I have got a book that God inspired. I've got a book that God preserved. I've got a book that shows me the light of God.
Amen.
I am not ashamed of being right. Are you with me? Now, I don't think we should be arrogant towards somebody. We should want to. I was reading Joy's parents' letter, and her mom has been witnessing to this one lady for years, reading the Bible to her. And she comes home, and she just cries. And she says to her husband, Joy's dad, she's going to die and go to hell. And she was broken about it. See, we get full of knowledge and get puffed up. We get an arrogant attitude toward lost people, and that is not what God wants. God wants us to have a broken heart. So we should take the knowledge that God gives us so that we can show other people the error of their way. Bob did not criticize the Catholics that night. He led me to the Lord. He just took me to the Bible and showed me what the Bible had to say. Am I making any sense here? We want that touch of God on us. But see, when God gives you let me give you a couple of examples. Let's go to Judges chapter 2. When we go to Judges 2, Pete, I'm going to ask you to go to Acts 7, 41 and 42. Hey, there's time. God just gives people up. I'm in Judges 2. Let me give you an example here. Judges 2, verse 11. Judges 2 and verse 11. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. And they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods of the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves unto them, and provoked the Lord to anger. Now, do we not preach that we can type the children of Israel as Christians in the day and age in which we're living? Well, can we forsake God and go serve other gods? Look at the God that sports is today. There's people who lay out of church on Sunday to go to a sporting event. There's people who don't go to Wednesday night prayer meeting because they got some club meeting or something like that. Are y'all with me? Is that not forsaking the Lord God and serving other gods? I think it's provoking the Lord to anger. Verse 13, and they forsook the Lord and served Balaam and Ashtaroth. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. Listen, I was the father to 9 children. Those kids got me hot, angry sometimes. So, well, you shouldn't get angry at your kids. See, where do you find that? Listen to me. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Are y'all with me? God is not somebody I want angry with me. Now, if he gets angry with Tim, I'm okay with that. But I don't want him angry with me. I did not want my dad angry with me. If he got angry with me, that meant I was getting disciplined and it was going to hurt. And I didn't like it. Are we okay? That taught me consequences. When Bob showed me I was going to hell for my sin, buddy, I believed that. Lots of people aren't getting saved. They got no fear of God. They've had poor training, poor upbringing. So the anger of the Lord in verse 14 was hot against Israel, and he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that spoiled them. He sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could not any longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out of the hand of the Lord was against them for evil, as the Lord had said and as the Lord had sworn unto them, and they were greatly distressed. Nevertheless, praise the Lord raised up judges which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them, and so forth and so on. Pete, would you read Acts 7? This is Acts 7, guys, verse 41 and 42. So as the Lord here in the book of Romans, he gave them up in verse 24. He gives them up in verse 26 to vile affections. And then in verse 28, he gives them over to a reprobate mind. Another passage you might want to look up in your free time about God giving things up is Psalm 81, verse 10, and down through 11 and 12. You know, if you don't respond to the Lord's chastisement, what's he got to do? In other words, if you know, there's something not right in our lives and the Lord chastises us and we know what he's chastising us about, if we don't get it right and we just go on, the Lord may just let us go our way. There's lots of instances like that in the Bible. And personally, I think the worst fate that God can allow to a person is let that person do what he wants to do. Your heart, your mind, isn't going to make right decisions without God.
There in verse 28 in Romans where it says God gave them over to a reprobate mind, do you believe when the Lord Jesus talked about the unforgivable sin, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, do you think that can take place in that person's life?
Oh, yeah. I'm not sure that's applicable right here. But, okay, this about this passage right here, okay, you get a full-blown sodomite that has rejected God and gone into that lifestyle. I am not sure that they can get saved. I think they have been turned over. I mean, okay, let's just, here we are, we're Americans. Some of us have a bad past, some of us don't have a bad past. But just the thought of sodomy, doesn't it make you sick to your stomach? I'm talking girls too. You want to marry a girl? I mean, that's revulsive, isn't it?
Amen.
You got to cross a lot of lines, guys, to get there. Even conscience tells you it ain't right.
Amen.
They sing that song, okay, about the barnyard. Did you ever hear that? No roosters laying eggs and stuff like that, right? There's no queers in the animal world. It takes the depraved, wicked heart of man to go there. Listen, idolatry is all about counterfeiting God. It's all under the guise of the devil hates God, and he hates you and I. He wants to take everybody to hell with him. It's a terrible fate, though, to be left to yourself. Amen. You know, when the Lord does deal with us, guys, we ought to thank the Lord that he does.
Amen.
There's been times, listen, I'm not proud of it, but there's times in my life I've gotten cold and gotten a little distant with the Lord and stuff like that. And I am glad that he has jerked my chain, taken me to the woodshed, and he just not left me to myself. Because if I was left to myself, I would be in trouble, guys. You're going to be in trouble if you get left to yourself. So going on down, verse 25, we change the truth of God into a lie, worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God. Verse 26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, even the women. I've read all that. Let's go down to verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. It was their choice. Verse 29. We've mentioned sodomy. Leviticus chapter 18, verses 22 through 25, it tells you what God thinks about sodomy. Okay, it's an abomination. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now, here's the product of God giving you over to a reprobate mind. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication. Guys, fornication is all manner of deviant sexual activity, wrong sexual. Anything outside of the marriage bed is fornication. Wickedness, covetousness, which is idolatry, maliciousness. Maliciousness is when you have ill will to somebody else, when you're hoping something bad happens to somebody. Ill will, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity. Malignity is spitefulness. Whispers. Isn't that interesting? He puts whispers there. I want to read a verse. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 20. The Bible says this: "For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envyings, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults." Whisperings is listed in a bunch of bad things. And so there in Romans, it talks about whisperers. Then it goes on, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Guys, here's good preaching material for you. You can grab a dictionary, and you can grab a couple verses there, and you can go to preaching right here, okay? Boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. That's not a good group to be in, guys, disobedient to parents. Without understanding, covenant breakers. And when it's talking about understanding, it's talking about spiritual understanding. Covenant breakers, boy, we got a bunch of them, don't we? Without natural affection. Huh. The way some people love their animals is unnatural. Or their cars, or their golf clubs, or their bowling ball, or their whatever. Are y'all with me? Okay. Listen, we had pets. I loved my dogs and all like that, but I sure didn't worship them like that. Are y'all with me? So don't get bent out of shape. Without natural affection. People love their dogs more than they love their kids. They train their animals, but they won't train their kids. Pretty sad that your dog obeys you better than your kid obeys you. That's good preaching right there. Implacable. An implacable person is unable to be pacified, never able to satisfy them. Implacable. Unmerciful. Unmerciful. Rather intolerant, I guess. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are what? Worthy of death. That's worthy of death because they have rejected God. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. I really believe that our society is so perverted that they put these people that are guilty of all that stuff on the TV and the movie screen. They make you laugh at it, make me laugh at it, and we partake of their wickedness by watching that stuff. And we call it what? Entertainment. We call it amusement. I think it's wrong. I think it's dead, flat out wrong. I think it's a waste of time. I think it fills our mind and ultimately our hearts with a bunch of wickedness. And that stuff comes out in us when we get shaken up. Have pleasure in them to do them. So verses 29 through 30 is the deeds of a corrupt nature. Verse 32 talks about judgment. And so what's happened, that first case, the heathen are found guilty. And so they deserve the judgment of God. And that's what they're going to get. Okay. Over there in verse 28, it says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, the RSV and the NASV changed knowledge to acknowledging God. Big difference there, guys. And then they list those things. The judgment is coming. Any questions? Okay, I'll pick up with, look at that. It only took me 3 weeks to get in through one chapter. Y'all ought to be proud of me. Amen. We'll pick up chapter 2 next week. Lord, sure love you. I thank you for these folks, Lord, that sacrificed their time to come to the house of God and study the Word of God. And Lord, we pray that the Holy Ghost would be our teacher and the knowledge we gain, Father, that we would use to draw closer to you, to be a more effective servant for you as we try to witness and see some people get saved by the grace of God. So, Lord, I pray you'd bless Pastor Matt and Brother Dan as they finish up tonight. And bless these folks, Lord, for the sacrifice of their time. And I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen, bud. Like that shirt.